Good evening. I'd like you to open your Bible to Ephesians 5 before we get to a Titus, please, if you would. We're going to address God's expectation of men tonight, and then next Sunday evening, I'm going to address God's expectation of women. And what we're going to do is just kind of move into Titus. We're just going to go down and talk briefly about the words that he uses and try to get a better grasp of God's expectation for the men and women here at the congregation. But in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, Paul addresses the church and says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." What's the key in our walk? I mean, what does he say is the key? The key is to understanding what the will of the Lord is. And to understand the will of the Lord is that you've got to have a willingness to walk where he wants you to walk. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult. You know, be careful how you walk. You know, don't be unwise. Wisdom is gained by walking with the Lord. Wisdom is gained by, when you walk with the Lord, understanding what the Lord wants you to do. And a lot of times, to understand the will of God, we hear people talk about it often. You know, this is the will of the Lord. A lot of times, you don't find it in a great big sentence. Sometimes the will of God can be found in a word. This is what I want. This is what I expect. This is what I want you to go after. And so to understand the will of the Lord, we need to be wise. And we need to make the best usage of our time so we can grasp what he wants. Well, what does God expect of men? What is what his will be for men in each congregation of the Lord's church? Come over, if you would, to Titus now, to chapter 2. And to begin with, we're going to see in verse 1, what's the will of God for the preacher? What would God's will, if we want to understand it, what would God's will be for Carrie and myself? What would he expect of us here? Look at verse 1. "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." Speak the things that make sound doctrine. Now that word sound is going to come up quite a bit in the next few verses. Sound is the word healthy. It means healthy. God's expectation of Carrie, God's expectation of me, is to speak things that make you healthy spiritually. It needs to be healthy doctrine, not just a doctrine out there of belief, not creeds, but a doctrine that is healthy. And that doctrine that's healthy comes from understanding the will of God. So he expects us to speak what is going to help spiritually and make you healthy spiritually. And so in speaking that, there's things he expects of you men. And so we're going to begin now. What would he want me to speak for things that make for sound doctrine, for healthy doctrine? Well, first off, we got to address the older men. Notice in verse 2, he talks about older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. First off, older men. I'm not going to put an age factor on that. Tonight's lesson covers every single one of the men in this congregation. So we don't have to put. So wherever you find yourself or you believe yourself to fall into, that's what he wants. That's the will of God for you. It's interesting, the older men, it literally says in the Greek, aged men. So we're talking about men of age. You know, what does he want from men of age? Men of age, older men, are to be first temperate. Some versions use the word sober. This word has a real interesting meaning when you look it up. It literally means abstaining from wine. Temperate. Sober. Abstaining from wine, period. So when we start talking about temperate, we're talking about the ideas of controlling your faculties. Older men are to have some control. They're to have control of the faculties that you have an awareness of what's going on around you. You have an awareness of your life. You know, wine, alcohol of any kind, has a tendency to dull the senses. We live in a day and time where alcohol consumption is normal. Drinking is a normal, common thing. You go out to have a meal, well, we have a glass of wine. It's normal. But it's not normal with God. Older men are to have some temperance. They are to abstain from wine. That they need to have some soberness in the way they think, in the way they live. It's the same word as used when he expects of elders in 1 Timothy 3, that an elder, the character of an elder, he's to be temperate. He's to be sober-minded, abstaining from the wine that distracts and can dull the senses. Older men are to be temperate. Notice he goes on into dignified. Some versions use the word grave. Dignified. Dignified is what makes someone worthy of respect. It's what makes you have a reverence for their life, their character. Dignified. It's the same word used down in verse 7 of the same chapter. If you'll notice the last word, he's talking to young men. Guess what he expects out of young men? They too need to be dignified. Dignified. Men of the congregation here, all of you, you need to be living in a way that's a way of dignity, dignified. You need to be living in a way that when people see you live, when they see you act, when they hear you talk, that it commands a respect. People will respect you. That's what dignity is all about. Is that rather than just go off and have people look at you in shameful behavior or shameful thoughts, you hold yourself, you get involved in things that command dignity. Back in the 1960s, I can remember well, because that's when I grew up. Back in the 60s, one of the greatest things was among the men, sloppy dress. There's a lot of that today too. But that's what it was known for. I mean, sloppy attire. And the look was sloppy, you know, the long hair things and all. It didn't command respect. It wasn't ways that carried respect. I know when being in that age group and being in that time, you know, we used to wear jeans, had holes all the way in them from top to bottom almost, it seemed like. You know, both knees blown out, knees, you know, holes in the back. But you know what? That doesn't make people respect you. You know what the Lord, you know what the will of the Lord is for our men? Have some dignity. Have some dignity about you. Rather than follow the world's lead, follow the world's standard. Today, we don't have a lot of dignity about us. A while back, I was doing a funeral. And I'll never forget it. One of the guys that came, he was a good friend of the family. In his 20s, he came walking in to the funeral, and he had a T-shirt that had, it was a devil on the front, just big pasted devil. He had pants that had holes in them, real sloppy looking. Had a hat. He wore the hat through the whole funeral, and I just thought, there's no dignity in any of that. God expects His children, His men, to have some dignity. You young men, you older men, need to think about what you do and how you carry yourself that makes people respect you, that makes people think highly of you instead of looking like the rest of the world. Dignity. Well, by the way, 1 Timothy 3, deacons. He expects deacons to be men of dignity. They need to be dignified too. So here's what he expects of the men. Older men are to be temperate, dignified. Notice he comes to the next word, sensible. Some versions use the word self-controlled. Sensible. It carries the idea of using good sense, having some prudence. Prudence is a big word we don't talk about a lot. We discovered when we went through the book of Proverbs, doing some studies there. Prudence. Prudence is the ability that whenever you do an action, you can see where it's going to end up. Or whenever you make a statement, you can see where it's going to take things. Men, especially older men, they need to be sensible. But if you look in verse 6, likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. Have some thoughtfulness about the way you go about things. Have some thoughtfulness that if I act this certain way, if I have this certain attitude, you know what? It's going to have an effect on how I'm perceived. And so you need to have some sensibility about you. All the men do. He expects it from the young, from the old, you know, that you need to understand the outcome of your actions. You can't just go and do what you feel like doing because you're upset or you don't like something. You know, it seems like the younger you are, you always want to be a voice. It always amazed me, and as I look back on my life, I was one of those that when something was said, I was one of the first ones to pipe up. You know, that wasn't always sensible. Sometimes you need to have some control about yourself and realize, you know, I need to keep quiet. I need to be still. Sometimes you can see older men. They're not too sensible. Sometimes an older man has an idea about the way something's done and he gets stuck on himself. And he's not going to let it go. And he says, this is the only way it's got to be done. And all of a sudden, he gets to be a little cantankerous. And he'll even act foolish because he's going to hold on to his idea. He's not going to let it go. There's no sensibility in that. There's no self-control in any of that. So getting hold of yourself, that's sensibility. That's what God expects of you men. Quit letting your desires carry you away and quit being so careless in your thoughts and your actions and give some thought to what's going on. He says there in verse 2, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible. Notice the next thing, sound in faith. That word sound comes up again. That's that word healthy. Healthy in faith. You know, when you talk about somebody being healthy in faith, it should be our older men. Shouldn't it? I mean, especially if you grew up in the church. I've known older men that I'm not even sure they even know what the doctrine is about. Older men ought to have some health about them spiritually. They ought to have some health and faith, that they have a conviction about the Word of God, that they can help steer a congregation. You know, when you got some older men that understands the Word of the Lord, that they've learned how to trust God in a deeper way, that they can help direct things. We need that in congregations. We need that here. And we do have older men who are like that. But older men need to be sound, healthy in the faith. Notice he continues on, in love. In each one of these last three things, sound in the faith, we're talking about sound in love, healthy in love. You know, if anybody has learned how to sacrifice for other people, it should be our older men. They should have had a lot of years of sacrificing for the betterment of others. They should have been practicing in their homes, and they're practicing in the church, and now they've got some sound health of what it means to love. Love the brotherhood. Love the people of God. Love the Lord. That they look out for the spiritual best of all the people. Older men ought to be sound in their love. That's what the Lord expects. And notice the last thing, sound in perseverance. Perseverance. The ability to stand up under trials. To hang in there. If there's anything older men learn, older men, we've come a lot further than the younger men. We've had to endure a lot of things in our lives. There's a lot of times the older men, as they've gone through a lot of things, the younger men have not even thought about facing yet. And the older men should have some soundness, some spiritual health, and how to persevere, how to hang in there, how to not let it get you down, how to keep going forward. Why? Because they're sound in faith. They're sound in love. They're sound in perseverance. Their life has come together, and they can encourage and help the younger men that this is the way it goes. This is the way it works out. And you need to stay strong in all of this. You see, older men have learned how to endure the tests of life. They've learned about trials. And they know where to go during time of trials. Well, God expects older men to have some spiritual help. We don't need to be foolish. And we need to understand this is the will of God. And we need to make the best of our times and our life and our attitudes that we live for the Lord because of what the Lord expects. You know, when you get older men acting this way that he just went through there, do you know what it brings into church? Some stability. Some stability. There's nothing more encouraging for an eldership to have older men too that are sound and solid. It gives help to the elders. There's nothing better for preachers to have older men who are sound and solid. What keeps you encouraging? Keep preaching that word. It brings a stability. I've known congregations where you don't have older men doing many of these things. And I'll tell you, their congregation in trouble. I can think of several just off the top of my head. We need older men to be like God. Well, look down at verse 6 again. What about the younger men? What does the Lord expect of younger men? He says, likewise, urge young men to be sensible. And I know we talked about sensible with the older men. I want to say one more thing about the young men and learning to be sensible. Young men have a tendency sometimes to be reckless in their lives. I know I was. Did a lot of reckless things, a lot of foolish things. Young men are strong, aren't they? Young men have a lot of energy, don't they? And because they're strong and they have a lot of energy, young men also are sharp in their minds. And when you get older, your mind dulls. Mind's dulling more and more. It bothers me sometimes, I'll just tell you. Because there's things I can't think of. There's things I'm not near as sharp on. But young men, because they're strong, because they're energetic, because they have such a great mind to do things, can make a lot of foolish decisions because they are strong and energetic. They don't think in terms of sensible. Well, I remember, you know, the first years of our marriage, I remember that, I mean, almost every night I was involved in sports. That wasn't sensible. Terrible example. Leave your wife and, you know, why? That's what I wanted to do. But was it sensible? Or was it foolish? See, I need to make better time use of my life, and understand the will of the Lord. When you talk about being sensible, you need not to be so quick to speak. Notice in discussions and things how quick younger you are, the quicker you speak. Always amazed me. Older you are, they're quieter. There's a reason. Always wondered about that. I used to think the older were kind of dumb. Did. Do you know what I come to learn? Because I'm getting older. I'm realizing they're quiet for a reason. They're a whole lot wiser than you ever thought they were. You just don't have enough sense to step back and see it because you want to express your opinion. Sensible. Likewise, urge young men to be sensible. Verse 7. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds. Show yourself to be an example. You see that word example? That word literally means a pattern. To impress. To strike to impress. That's what an example is. Is that you take that hammer and you hit, and it makes an impression in whatever you have an object in your hand. You're impressing it. You know what he expects a young man to do? Show yourself to impress, to be an example. You know, our young men here, you do not realize how many, and I'm gonna take this a step off here. You do not realize, young men, how many high school, junior high fellas look at you? You do not realize how you've impressed them with what you do and what you say. There are people watching you, young men. And young men, you need to make sure that you are showing yourself that I am an example of good deeds. That the things that I do, they're not worthless. They're not just out there because I'm doing them to do them, but they have a purpose. They're making an impression on you. One thing I've always been impressed here with our young men. Sometimes we'll have an announcement made, you know, so-and-so is moving this weekend. And it always impresses me. We've got a young man that'll show up. You know what they're showing? Here's a brother, here's a sister, here's a family needs help. And I'm there to help. I'm going to show them. I'm making an impression of good deeds. Showing that example. That's what young men should be doing. That you're showing what to go after. I want you to hold this 1 second. Come back to Philippians 3. I want to show you one thing. Philippians chapter 3. We're talking about being an example of good deeds. The same word is used in the same thought. Look at verse 17. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. He says, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." Do you see that word pattern at the end of your verse? That's the same identical word of example over in Titus. I want you to observe those who walk according to the pattern. There's an impression made. There's this strike, and it means something. And Paul says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to observe. He says in Titus, show yourself to be an example. Show yourself to be impressive. We need our young men doing that. That you're doing good deeds. The things that you're involved in are beneficial for others. That's what good deeds are about. Learning to be beneficial. Come back to Titus. He says in verse 7 of chapter 2, "In all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine." Our young men need to be pure in doctrine. you don't need to be mixing things of the world and ideas of the world with the things of God. A lot of times, the younger you are, it's easy to be impressed. You've got a friend in the world. You've got friends, plural, in the world. And they have these stories and these ideas. And next thing you know, you're trying to incorporate them. Say, you know, that's pretty good. And we bring them over and we start teaching them this doctrine in the church. And to make it look like it, we'll find some verses and stick to them. Young men need to be pure in doctrine. You don't need to be mixing anything with it. That you need to let God stand and God alone in all purity. That's the will of the Lord. With purity in doctrine, dignified, we've talked about that. Look at verse 8. Sound in speech, which is beyond reproach. Notice the word sound again. Speech that is healthy. And it's amazing he puts this with young men. Because, you know, a lot of times young men are rubbing elbows, rubbing shoulders with the world. You're working around them. And it's real easy to pick up their lingo. You know what you need to do? You need to make sure that you have a healthy speech pattern. You know, you need to make sure that you're not accused of bad words, slander words, words that are demeaning, just like the world around. I don't know if you've ever listened to the little children of parents. And you'll hear a little child use a word. You know where that word came from? It came from the home. Our young men, our young fathers, need to be fathers that are sound in speech. Speech that helps. Not words that are demeaning again. Not bywords that are inserted in there. I mean, this is understanding the will of the Lord. You know, Paul said in Ephesians 4:29 that there should be no unwholesome words come from our mouth. None. That's for the brethren as a whole, all of us. But especially he expects of young men to be sound in speech that's above reproach. So no one can say anything bad about you. Well, there's one thing, I've never heard any language, foul language come out of his mouth. That's good. You're now showing yourself an example. It's an impression that needs to be made. You're showing some dignity in your life because you're not using speech that's less. Examine your heart, young men. Find out if the words that sometimes you choose to use, are they words of dignity? Are they words that are spiritually healthy? And if they're not, you need to understand the will of the Lord. You need to be moving them out of your life. That's the sensible thing to do. He said, sound in speech which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. The opponent. The outsiders. They can't accuse you of saying anything or doing anything wrong. You see, not only in the church is this having an effect, it's having an effect on outsiders. That's what the Lord wants. You see, God has expectations. Look at verse 15. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. I'm not making it up. These are the words of our Lord. This is the will of God, and there is no other way around it. And we're not going to allow anybody to disregard that because God is behind it. And this is what He wants. And He said, you better walk in a way that's wise, not foolish, and understand this is the will of the Lord. And He expects it from our men.